Jehanila prema janda korna prajo Chandanana Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
ISKCON founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Goti, Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Ram se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan ki jai. Vrindavanam ki jai, Mathuram ki jai, Navadeep Dham ki jai, Jagannatha Swami ki jai, Yamunamai ki jai, Srimati Galasi Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi ki jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bhu. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Welcome back to Nimbalaka. So, let's read the translation. He who brought the treasure of divine love, and it was filled with compassion and mercy, where is such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where am I, Swarup Damodar Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatt and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So today is the commemoration of the disappearance day of Shripada Ramananda Roy, so we're going to be speaking about him today and making reference to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So before class we chant the obeisances to Lord Chaitanya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Okay, Om Ganatu Vinandasha, Gananjana Shalakaya, Chatsur and Meditam, Yena Tasmai, Shigarve Namaha. So Ramananda Roy was one of the three and a half most intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And amongst those associates, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed the most intimate affairs of Radha and Krishna, conjugal Leela. Generally, with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with everyone else, he was saying chant Hare Krishna, or he discussed the philosophy in general. But with these three and a half associates, he would discuss the most intimate affairs of Radha and Krishna, and especially Vipralamba Seva. So Ramananda Roy, of course, in his, let's say, ontological position, he is considered to be Vishaka, actually combined incarnation of Vishaka and Arjuna. And how that is, sometimes someone could be considered an incarnation. Touch the iPad to your head. I know. The sacred iPad. So, sometimes incarnations are directly the person, and sometimes they're empowered incarnations. So, of course, Ramananda Roy is directly Vishaka. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Jagannath Puri, was advised by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who's considered to be an incarnation of Vrihaspati, to visit Ramananda Roy, who was in on the banks of the Godavari River in Vijayanagara. Now, previously, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya did not appreciate Ramananda Roy. He thought, he's just a sentimental Vaishnava. But when he became transformed into a real Vaishnava, that is when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became transformed into real Vaishnava, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya began to appreciate Ramananda Roy. And then he advised Lord Chaitanya to visit him. So, we'll start with the story here. I may read a little bit, but generally I'm just going to make reference to guide me through my discussion about Ramananda Roy. And this is, of course, from the 8th chapter of the Majjhima of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this chapter is entitled Talks Between the Lord and Ramananda Roy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was touring South India, and he previously had been visiting some of the Nrisimha temples in South India, as we mentioned during the appearance day of Lord Nrisimhadev. And he went to Aholvalam, he went to Mangalgiri, he went to Singhachalam, which are the primary Nrisimhadev temples in Andhra Pradesh. And finally he arrives in the banks of the Godavari in a place called Vijayanagara. And ISKCON has a very beautiful temple there. I don't know if anyone has seen that temple, Vijayanagara. It's, let's see, how to describe it? It's on the second story, because the first story, it tends to flood, you know, down at the bottom. So the temple is elevated, and around the temple room, there's a pathway, an elevated pathway, with little cupolas, and each one of those cupolas has an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God, a deity of the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God. And so when you circumambulate the temple, you can actually take darshan of all the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of God. It's a very beautiful temple. So we went there, and we took a little snan from the Godavari. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived there, and he was taking his bath in the Godavari River. And while he was taking his bath in the Godavari River, he saw this person arrive who was seated on a palanquin and surrounded by thousands of people. Of course, Ramananda Roy was the governor of the province known as Chennai or Madras, depending on how you call it. And he had been working under the government in Jagannath Puri, Maharaj Bharudra. So he would be taking his salary. He was a grihastha, and he was also considered to be a Shudra, because that was his particular caste. So here was this Shudra, and here was this person, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, coming from what was considered to be a very, very high-class Brahminical family and a sannyasi to boot. So what happened is that when Ramananda Roy saw this sannyasi, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he offered his obeisances, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Ramananda Roy to get up and chant the holy names. And what happened is they introduced each other, and then they embraced each other, and they exhibited symptoms that are called the Vyabhachari Bhavas, the Sanchari Bhavas, as described here in this verse. Paralysis, perspiration, tears, shivering, paleness, standing up with the bodily hairs, and they fell to the ground, and they both were, mouthing Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, as they fell to the ground. Pretty interesting. So, of course, there were Brahmanas, ritualistic Brahmanas, who were following Ramananda Roy, and they were just thinking, this is weird. He said, this sannyasi, he's just like Narayan. Of course, I guess they had some impersonalism there. And he's exhibiting an effulgence like that of the sun, which, of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited. And they said, why is he embracing the Shudra, the person of a low caste? And then they were looking at it from the other angle of vision. They said that Ramananda Roy is a very educated person. He's very grave, and he's a Mahapandit. So why, upon embracing this sannyasi, he's become like a madman? So the Brahmanas were thinking this way. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy, when they regained their external consciousness, they just acted normally, at least according to the Brahminical understanding. as not to disturb the minds of those who are materially attached. As Krishna says in the Gita, one should not disturb the minds of those who are materially attached. And then they began to speak to each other very peacefully, and Lord Chaitanya described that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke of your good qualities, and he asked me to see you. And then Ramananda Roy immediately recognized that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he said that you do not fear any of these Vedic injunctions by embracing a low-class shudra like myself. He said, you have come here just to deliver me. So this way, they had a discussion back and forth, and they decided to meet later on. And of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was time for his lunch. So he took lunch, observing the Vedic etiquette not to disturb the minds of the Brahmins. He took lunch in a Brahmin's house. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu generally took lunch in Brahmin's houses. This was to just not agitate people's minds. Very, very important principle that he followed the general, let's say, culture and etiquette there so that people would accept him, because if he broke the etiquette, people wouldn't have accepted him. So he decided to meet with Ramananda Roy later, and there's this interesting discussion which we're going to relate, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the position of a student and Ramananda Roy took the position of a professor or someone instructing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada wrote a very nice book on this, which I believe I have a copy of. It's called the Ramananda Samvada. That means the discussion of Ramananda Roy. And this book was discovered by my godbrother Nrisimha Maharaj in Srila Prabhupada's quarters, and he published this book. You've seen the book? And Nrisimha Maharaj has published this book. It wasn't published by the BBT. It was discovered. Many books were discovered, actually, in Srila Prabhupada's quarters by Nrisimha Maharaj. And other devotees actually went to Prabhupada's Delhi quarters above the temple where Prabhupada was staying. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy to describe something concerning the ultimate goal of life, and he asked him to recite based on the Vedic literatures. And Ramananda Roy immediately started to talk about Varnashram. And there's one quote here. When executes the prescribed duties of his social position, he awakens his original Krishna consciousness. Of course, this is not really true, that one simply follows the Varnashram Dharma. At least the external Varnashram Dharma, one will not awaken, not necessarily awaken Krishna consciousness, because Krishna consciousness is only woken up by the association of a pure devotee. Brahmanda brahmate karna bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasadi bhai bhakti lata beach. And we are wandering throughout all these different universes, and until we come in contact with a pure devotee and get the creeper or the seed of devotion, then we cannot awaken Krishna consciousness. It just doesn't happen. So Ramananda Roy begins to describe the Varnashram system, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replies, this is simply external, you better tell me of some other means. And then he describes them, he says, offer the results of one's activities to Krishna is the means or the essence of perfection. And this, of course, is a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, yat karoshi yadashnasi yadashnihoshi yadasi yad. Yata pashashi kantiya tat kodashwa manarpanam. Whatever you offer, whatever you give away, should be done as an offering to me, which we agreed to. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't disagree with this, but he said it's simply external. And we were speaking about this last night in the Sunday feast presentation, that many times people are working for Krishna and doing things for Krishna, but they're not thinking of what they're doing while they're doing it. They're not conscious of what they're doing. In other words, they're doing it ritualistically. This is a big problem, actually, in the Krishna conscious movement and in all religions, that religions develop all these different rituals, procedures. What to speak of situations where you have a lot of the rituals and procedures in a religion like we do in a different language. And so that even leads into further ritualism or further what we call niyamagraha. Niyamagraha means to do your spiritual activities or to do your Krishna conscious activities without the intention, without understanding what you're doing, or without the intention being conscious in your mind. Because, as we mentioned last night, the whole point of Krishna consciousness, the first rule is to always remember Krishna, and the second rule is never forget Krishna. So the whole point is to find the Krishna Padaravindiyo, to keep Krishna in your mind. And if you're simply doing things ritualistically, you're not keeping things in your mind. If you're simply serving but not thinking of what you're doing, that may be called karma yoga, but it's simply external. And we gave the example last night of how you can get in trouble doing that, referring to the pilots. Some of you were there last night during the feast. The pilots who actually put the plane on automatic pilot and they overshot the airport by 200 miles. And eventually, luckily, they didn't get shot down by the U.S. government, thinking that the plane had been hijacked. But eventually they turned around when the airport got them on the radio and they lost their jobs. Same thing can happen to us. We could lose our Krishna conscious jobs if we are not conscious of doing what we're doing. So we have to be careful of thinking that Krishna consciousness is simply something external. It's an internal cultivation. Prabhupada said that devotional service is executed with the subtle body. Savayamana Krishna Padara. I mean, there's many injunctions like that. So Lord Chaitanya explained to Ramananda Roy, this is external. Speak a little bit further. And then he talked about renunciation. He said to give up one's occupational duties in the Varnashram system is the essence of perfection. And of course, that's also really external. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, rejected that. He said you could speak more. Sorry, I skipped one thing. And then Lord Chaitanya rejected that. I actually skipped a section here. And then he said, basically, 65, you're following me, that's good. 65, he says, devotional service mixed with empiric speculation, empiric knowledge is the essence of perfection. So empiric knowledge means the knowledge that you can perceive with your senses or in this material world. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and of course that means that someone who's interested in jnana or liberation. So then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected it, considering it to be external, and then in Lord Chaitanya Ramananda Roy replied that pure devotional service without any touch of speculative knowledge is the essence of perfection. And of course, that's like anyavi lashita shunyam jnana karma anavritam anukulyena krishnana shilanam vaktivikta. And at that point, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to accept what Ramananda Roy was saying. But he said, still you can speak more on this subject. And then Lord Ramananda Roy began to speak about ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead being the essence of perfection. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is all right, but if you know more, please tell me. And then after ecstatic love comes spontaneous loving service in servitude, because ecstatic love in the beginning is simply in the neutral mode. You understand, the one is ecstatic serving Krishna, but that ecstasy of serving Krishna in the neutral mode is not really your constitutional position. If someone is in the ras of neutrality, that's not stable, because the constitutional position of a living entity is jivara svarupa bhoy nitya krishna das, in other words, service to the Supreme Personality of God. And simply to appreciate the Lord is not perfection. Of course, you do have devotees in Braj who are primarily in the shanta ras, but they have to have a mixture of a little bit of dasha ras in there to remain in Braj, because everyone is serving. Even the trees, which are primarily in the shanta ras, are serving Krishna by providing shade and fruits and other things to Krishna. So there's always service. Every living entity in Goloka is serving. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he heard about this spontaneous love, he asked for more, and Ramananda Roy began to describe devotional service in servitude, dasharas. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked for more. He said, this statement is very, very good, but I want more. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talked about, Ramananda Roy said, loving service to Krishna rendered in fraternity is the highest perfection. So he's going up through the different rasas. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I want to hear something further. And Ramananda Roy described the relationship in the parental rasa. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, your statements are certainly getting better and better, one after the other. But surpassing all of them is another transcendental mellow, and you can speak of that as the most sublime. And then Ramananda Roy began to describe conjugal attachment for Krishna in the topmost position in love of Godhead. And then he began to describe the gopis and all their different interactions. And let's see, that eventually Lord Chaitanya asked him to go even further in describing the gopis and their relationship. Let's see, go to the right verse. Oh, yeah. Lord Chaitanya said, this is certainly the limit of perfection, but please be merciful to me and speak more if there is more. And Ramananda Roy replied, this is verse 97 if you're looking for it, until this day I did not know anyone within this material world who could inquire beyond this perfectional stage of devotional service. So then he began to describe Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna. He said, just as Srimati Radharani is most dear to Sri Krishna, her bathing place, Radhakund, is also dear to him. Amongst all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the supermost and very dear to Krishna. And then Lord Chaitanya said, please speak on. I'm very happy to hear you, because a river of unprecedented nectar is flowing from your mouth. And then he began to describe the interactions of Srimati Radharani with Krishna, and then ultimately they came to the point of Rama of Vipralamba Seva. Let's see. Then Lord Chaitanya in the 120th verse says, kindly explain all these truths to me, but for yourself no one can ascertain them. And Ramananda Roy replied, I do not know anything about this. I simply vibrate the sound that you make me speak. I am simply repeating like a parrot whatever instructions you have given me. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Who can understand your dramatic performance? So, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after hearing this whole description, he said, Kiva vipra kiva nyasi shudra kena naayi krishna tadva veta se guru hoi. This is a very important verse that Prabhupada would often recite, which states that the qualification for being a guru is not that one is a Brahmin or a sannyasi or whatever. One should know the science of Krishna. So the exact translation of this verse is whether one is a Brahmin, sannyasi, or shudra, regardless of what he is, he becomes spiritual master if he knows the science of Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by this interaction, was showing, because he was accepting instruction from a so-called shudra, and of course Ramananda Roy is not a shudra, because to see a Vaishnava according to caste distinction means that one has hellish intelligence. If one sees the deity as being made of stone, if one sees the Vaishnava according to his body or his caste or his country or his color, then one is considered to have hellish intelligence. And Ramananda Roy, of course, acknowledged at the end that whatever he spoke was, or his speaking was like a poet, like a puppet speaking, and Lord Chaitanya was actually the puppeteer. So that was one interaction. Then later on, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised Ramananda Roy to renounce his government position and be able to reside with him full-time in Jagannath Puri. And then Ramananda Roy eventually went to King Prataparudra and asked to resign from that position. And King Prataparudra, of course, was very happy to give him a more than a full salary and facilitated him in residing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the rest of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Of course, Ramananda Roy's brothers were considered the other Pandavas. As we mentioned in the beginning, Ramananda Roy is considered to be an incarnation of Vishakha and Arjuna, and his father, Bhavananda Roy, is considered to be an incarnation of Pandu. And there's some stories about his brothers and his father later on in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now, one other story about Ramananda Roy that's quite interesting is about his interactions with Pradyumna Mishra. I don't need the book for this. Once upon a time, Pradyumna Mishra, who was also a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, came to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said, "I want to hear about the talks between you and Ramananda Roy. In other words, I want to hear about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna." And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking a very humble position in order to teach Pradyumna Mishra, he said, "I don't know much about this, but if you really want to hear about these things, you should go to Ramananda Roy." So, taking Lord Chaitanya's instructions on his head, he went to Ramananda Roy's house. And when he was in Ramananda Roy's house, it was explained by Ramananda Roy's servant that Ramananda Roy was engaged in an activity that was, we would consider, quite controversial. What he was doing was taking these Devidasis. Now, Devidasis are the dancers in the Jagannath temple. And nowadays, I mean, it's become transformed into something that's not so reputable anymore. You know, the Devidasis, sometimes they're considered to be low-class ladies or even prostitutes nowadays. But in those days, the Devidasis, they would dance just for Lord Jagannath. In other words, it wasn't like a public performance that they would get up on the stage and everybody and all the men would be looking at them and oogling them or anything like that. It was just Lord Jagannath and their trainer, whoever trained them to dance. So Ramananda Roy happened to be a trainer, or the trainer, of the Devidasis who danced for Lord Jagannath. And not only was he the trainer, but he was, I guess, the dresser, the makeup person, and everything like that. Like if you have a theater, there's someone who put your makeup, dresses you, touches, you know, makes sure that the clothes fit properly and everything like that. So in other words, here was this person in a male body externally. And he was taking these ladies and dressing them and even bathing them and touching, you know, all the parts of their body. And when Pradyumna Mishra heard this, he was in the waiting room in Ramananda Roy's house. He was a little confused. He was thinking, "Oh my God, here's this person." Of course, he wasn't in the renounced order of life. I mean, he was a grihastha, obviously, with a wife and family. So Pradyumna Mishra heard this, and then he waited for some time. Ramananda Roy eventually came back, but it was really late. And then Pradyumna Mishra said, when Ramananda Roy asked him, "Why have you come?" Pradyumna Mishra said, "Simply, I've come to see you, and now I fulfill my desire." And then he offered obeisances and then went back to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and explained to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu what Ramananda Roy had been doing. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You know, I'm considered to be a renounced sannyasi, but even if I see the wooden form of a lady, there's changes in the body and mind." And of course, Lord Chaitanya was showing us, or explaining to us, by this statement, the dangers. Like Prabhupada said, that women are like fire, men are like butter, and of course, vice versa, too. And when you put butter and fire together, you get ghee, right? Or ghee-hustas. Anyway, that's a joke. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I consider myself to be very renounced, but you know, Ramananda Roy is much more renounced than this." And he said, "This is a prerogative only of Ramananda Roy." And he said, "I can understand from this description of what Ramananda Roy is doing, and he's not feeling any disturbance or anything like that, that he's actually identifying himself in terms of his eternal spiritual body, the Siddha Deha, So if one identifies themselves with the spiritual body, then there's no attraction to anything based on the external body. That's real. That's our method of renunciation. Of course, that obviously, I don't think any of us or many of us are on that particular platform right now. So we have to be careful. And even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was on that platform, he refused to meet in a private place or meet just with a lady, even though he was very old. There's that whole story that one of his very, very young disciples said, you know, I want to talk to you and in private. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, no, you can talk here. And he refused to meet like that. So, of course, even if one is on that transcendental platform, identifying with their siddha deha, their eternal spiritual body, still they should act in such a way as to set an example for others, as Krishna says in the Gita, yad yad acharati shrestas, tat tat devetarojaha. As great persons act, people follow. People follow their example. So if you, let's say you had some great devotee here who could do that, and he would meet alone with ladies, then everybody else would start to do that too, and you'd end up with a disaster in the temple. Because we should be very, very careful. Prabhupada said, one should not meet alone. I mean, even quoting Chanaka Pandit, is Balavan Indriya Grama Vidvad Eva Hikarshate. The senses, Balavan Indriya Grama, the senses are very, very strong, and they can bewilder the mind even of a very learned, educated person. So, anyway, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, I can understand Ramananda Roy is on that higher platform, and it's only he has the prerogative or the right, the adhikar, to do those things. So then you better go back and see him. So Pradyumna Mishra went back, and Ramananda Roy, and he had this wonderful discussion about Krishna's intimate pastimes with Radharani, and then Pradyumna Mishra was just so overwhelmed with ecstasy. And he went back to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he thanked Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Ramananda Roy, at the same time, he attributed his ability to explain or discuss the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, he's simply, basically I'm paraphrasing, he's simply speaking through me. So this is, of course, is the mood of a devotee, that, you know, this information is not coming from me, it's coming by the mercy of my spiritual master who is utilizing me as a puppet. One should think that that's a disciple generally thinks like, should think like that. My spiritual master is using me as a puppet and speaking through me. So that's the pastime, another pastime of Ramananda Roy, who was so renounced, he could teach the Devidasis how to dance. So any questions or comments? Yes.
So you said that he was the incarnation simultaneously with
Vishakha and Arjuna.
But this is a little confusing because these personalities, they are so different.
Yes.
So how can we understand this?
Well, we can understand that because he was directly Vishakha. In other words, but he was empowered in many of his interactions by Arjuna. So it's not that he was two personalities. It's just that, you know, sometimes we can see, like sometimes Prabhupada was empowered by Nrisimhadeva when he got angry. I was listening to some of the... I mentioned that yesterday, actually, how Prabhupada had this interaction when they were installing the deities in some place, and it wasn't mentioned where the deities were being installed, and they just had like stainless steel containers, no flowers, no fruits, and Prabhupada became like Lord Nrisimhadeva. And all the devotees were shaking. And then, you know, we mentioned the story that even later on when Prabhupada asked for Mahaprasadam, and they drove Prabhupada back to his house, that Mahaprasadam fell on the floor of the car. You know, so the whole day was just like a disaster as far as their interactions with Srila Prabhupada. So we can say that a devotee is empowered by Lord, when preaching, a devotee is empowered by Lord Chaitanya. That's my understanding. Because Ramananda Roy is directly Vishakha. That is a fact. And he was empowered, my understanding, using my intelligence, is that he was empowered by Lord Chaitanya, by by Arjuna in his interactions with his brothers, who happen to be incarnations of the other Pandavas, and his father, who is Bhavananda Roy. So, yeah, because there's different rasas. Obviously, Arjuna is not in the conjugal ras. And Arjuna is not there in Vrindavan, whereas Vishakha is in Vrindavan. Another way of understanding it is that in Braj, you have these, of course, Lord Krishna's devotees, and they expand themselves in other venues, like Dwarka, Mathura, or even Ayodhya. These same devotees, like Garuda, for example, who is the carrier of Lord Vishnu, and of Krishna outside of Vrindavan. When Krishna was in Dwarka, he utilized Garuda. For example, when he went to Bomasura to get the princesses from Bomasura, he actually went on the back of Garuda. So, Garuda is an expansion of a coward boy in Vrindavan. So Arjuna is an expansion of someone, I don't remember right now, someone in Braj. Every single, eternal devotee Nityaparshada in the different abodes of the Lord, whether you're talking about Hanuman or other eternal associates of the Lord, or Lakshmi, of course, they're expansions of devotees in Braj. So that's another way of understanding it. That's explained in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita very, very nicely by Narada Muni in the interactions with Gopal Kumar. As Gopal Kumar is asking Narada Muni, you know, why are you in all these different places? And then he sees Narada Muni everywhere. And devotees can be in more than one place at one time. So there's different ways to explain this, even though it appears to be a conflict of, rasa bas, basically, to have Arjuna talking about the conjugal loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. Obviously, he didn't do that with Krishna when Krishna was present 5,000 years ago. So I hope that explains it. Any other questions or comments? Yes.
Explain.
You got a half minute.
And devotional service is done by the subtle body. I'm not quite clear on how that works.
Well, the gross body, first of all, the subtle body engages in serving Krishna and in loving Krishna. And the gross body follows the subtle body. You understand? The gross body that's listening, the Panchamahabhuta, follows the subtle body. And it's not enough to say that just my subtle body is serving Krishna, but my gross body isn't. Because if your subtle body is serving Krishna, the gross body will naturally follow. But if you just put your gross body in service to Krishna, that's better than nothing. You know, that's not actually devotion, it's karma yoga. In other words, serving Krishna with your activities. But your subtle body has to be engaged in order to be occupied in bhakti yoga, which is, bhakti yoga means serving Krishna with devotion. So karma yoga means just serving Krishna externally, but bhakti yoga means serving Krishna externally, but at the same time serving Krishna with devotion from the heart. That's the difference between the two. Okay, on that happy note, all glorious to His Vaingai, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you all for joining us.